It is very apparent in the reading that you have just heard that the Apostle Paul had a great longing and desire as he went forward that he might know the Lord, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. There are some subjects that humble you more than others. And to think of the thought of being able to know God is certainly a thought that should give us a great deal of pause. I was so interested that I went back and reread the sentence in the letter of recommendation that I was reading as I read those letters for a candidate for a job in the office where I worked a few years ago, because the sentence said, "One of the great joys of my life is knowing," and then they have the person's name. And I reread that. What a sentence. To say that a great joy in your life and one of the greatest joys is to know a certain individual. I am sure that in this room that a great deal of the joy that we experience is in other people. There is a companion, there is a child, a grandchild, a friend, there are those in whom we take delight, and the joys of our life are measured in those people. To come to know God and to think of knowing God, as Paul talked about that here, is certainly a challenging thought. We are involved, as you know, this year in looking at becoming partakers of the divine nature. And Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, as he describes that process, says that you are to add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. And the particular knowledge of which he speaks here is not just any kind of knowledge. It is a knowledge that comes through our acquaintance with the will of God. Many people assume that they know God. I would suspect that a great majority of the people in this part of the country, if you were just to ask, would say, "Yes, I know the Lord." Jesus talked about some people who would say to him in that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many wonderful works?" And then the Lord said, "I will profess unto them, I never knew you." These people certainly assumed that they knew the Lord. If you were to talk to Mr. Average Pharisee, he would say, "Of course, I know the Lord. That's my business, and I know the Lord, and I am of the strictest sect of those who study the inspired scriptures, and surely I know the Lord." Saul of Tarsus would have said, prior to his conversion that we read about over in Acts chapter 9, he would have said, "Of course, I know the Lord. I know him intimately. I've studied about him under a great teacher, and I have known him for many years." And yet you will recall that he had to ask the Lord, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." He thought he knew, but he didn't know. And there are many who assume that they know and yet do not know the Lord. To know the Lord and to have that kind of knowledge is the greatest goal that we can have, and to be known of him, to know him and then to be known of him, surely are two of life's greatest goals. Now, the best that I can do in such a grand subject is to simply point you to a number of passages that talk about knowing the Lord. It would be absurd for me to assume that I know him in a way that others do not. And yet the Bible encourages us to know the Lord, as we'll notice in a number of passages. And in our journey toward attaining the divine nature, we are actually commanded to add to virtue knowledge. And so as we study about the divine nature, and as we think about becoming more and more like him who died for us, then we need to add knowledge. But we aren't talking about just any kind of knowledge and the general knowledge of the world or academic knowledge, actually two New Testament words are used for the topic that I'm talking about today. One is gnosis, and it means a right understanding and discrimination. It is discernment that is gained by familiarity and actual experience in the ways of God. It is a knowledge that comes with acquaintance. It is a knowledge that comes in experience in walking with God. And we all recognize that there are degrees of knowledge, and we know things better as we become acquainted with them, and we know people better as we come to know them better and better. And so keep those thoughts in mind as we explore this thought of the joy of knowing God. This word then indicates to us that it isn't just general knowledge. This is the word that is used over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Ephesians needed to dig in and see not just the surface meaning, but to really think about what is God's will for my life. We all know that we could memorize, we could list, quote, passages, and yet that is not quite the same thing as thinking about how does this passage, how does this principle apply to my life, and how can I put this into practice in my day-by-day interaction with other people? And so our knowledge that we have of God comes as we come to have experience in the ways of God, in the practice of His will. The Hebrews, when for the time they should have been teachers, had need, the writer said, that someone would teach them the first principles of the oracles of God, and had need of milk and not a strong meat. And he goes on to say that the strong meat of the word belonged to them who are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And so it is in the practice, it is in knowing the principle and then trying it and working it in our life that we come to truly know the ways of God. But there is a second word, and this epignosis is a word that indicates a stronger form even of the first one that I read to you a moment ago. It is a fuller and going toward a full knowledge, a greater participation by the knower in the object of knowing, thus more powerfully influencing him. And the Apostle Paul, in the passage that was read to you a few moments ago, indicated that in the progress of his own life, that he was seeking to know the Lord more and more fully. And you all will recall that toward the end of his life, that he would say, "It is no more I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me." Paul saw in his own life the growth of that knowledge of God and the influence of that. And to the degree that we come to know such a being, then to that degree our joy multiplies exceedingly. And so we come to have the joy of knowing a divine being. Is that not a tremendous thought, that I could know God? It's a wonderful thing to know people. My life has been blessed for 60 years to know Carolyn, but to think about knowing God, and yet he says, "I want you to know me." And so the knowledge that we are to aim toward as we add to our virtue knowledge and go toward the divine nature is the knowledge of the divine. It isn't just knowledge of Bible principles, those will help us, or what God has said, but to come more and more to have that experience of walking in His way and talking to Him in prayer and letting Him talk to us through His will, and then reflecting back on our experiences and saying, well, I suspect right at that point, though I did not realize it at the time, that God was helping me and strengthening me. And so we come to know God. In the process of coming to know God, I want us to think about how it is that we are able to do that. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Here is that extra point about knowledge that I mentioned earlier in that definition. And so he said there is a multiplication factor, as it were. There is that that we are able to come to know that gives us the tool with which we may know more. And so it is growing from faith unto faith. It is increasing in the knowledge of God. And we all recognize that. We say to someone, do you know so-and-so? And we say, well, I've met him, or I've read some of his articles or her articles, but I'm not really acquainted with them. And then later we come to know them and be associated with them. And we know them in a quite different way than we did before. Similarly, we may know about God and we may say things about God, but coming to know God in the sense in which these two words are used is a challenge. And I hope we can think about that rather seriously the next few minutes. As we think about coming to know God, there is joy that comes to us in degrees. Now, the proverb writer wisely teaches us by saying that begins with an attitude. I suspect that every educator in the room would have said that with a bit of thought. You would have said the beginning thing for learning is that you start with the right attitude. You get a student with a good attitude, and they're easy to teach, and they learn rapidly, and they just eat up the material. But you gotta have that attitude, that desire to know. And so the awe and reverence that we feel toward the Almighty gives us that beginning attitude that will enable us to come to know Him. And so the fear of the Lord, the awe and reverence, is the beginning point. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 10, Jesus in the Great Commission there said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world or the age. And in that passage, he is saying not only go out and make disciples, do not only set up churches and appoint leadership, but the apostles then were to continue to teach. And thus we have the process in the New Testament of widespread conversions as they went from Jerusalem, Samaria, and then Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth. But also then the setting up of congregations, the appointment of leadership, followed by the writings of the New Testament epistles. And all of that is a progression. It is teaching them to know in ways they hadn't known the will of God as revealed through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so here is the growth and increase by degrees in knowledge. In this wonderful book of Philippians, this book of joy that we read from at the beginning of our lesson, Paul said, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. One translation says discernment. And so the joy increases as we come to know more, as we understand the ways of God, and as we experience the ways of God in our lives. then we come to know him in ways that we haven't before. And so the joy continues and comes in degrees. For example, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, we do not cease, Paul said, to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That was critically important for the Colossians, who were attracted to earthly philosophies, evidently. And he said, what I'm giving you and what I am teaching you will enable you to increase and to be filled with the knowledge of his will, and you will be able to link that to wisdom in guiding your life, and you will have a spiritual understanding. The world will be viewed differently by you as you grow and as you develop in the knowledge of God. And so we developed into radically different kinds of people as we experience the ways of God, as we grow in knowledge, as we live the Christian life. Do not be surprised that the circle of your friends and the sphere of your influence and the things that take up your mind time day by day that you're interested in, you think about, that all of that changes as you experience the joy of knowing God. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is no surprise that the favor of God, his ability to help me and to bless me, is directly influenced by my knowledge of him. There are uncashed checks. There are unrealized blessings because we are not yet in shape to receive them. And so we grow in the favor of God and the blessings that he is able to bestow upon us in direct relation to our coming to know him. And the more we come to know him, then the more capable we are of receiving his great blessings. As you think about great reasons for growing in knowledge and therefore experiencing the joy that we have, please consider these passages. God tells us that he is actually delighted. Think about doing something that would delight God. We love to delight children, and our joy in seeing them open their birthday gifts or to realize how much we care for them, that gives us great joy, doesn't it? Well, God is delighted as we come to know him. He said, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Jeremiah writes, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, and that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And so the knowledge of God, as we come to know him more, his delight is in us. This knowledge is of more value than any kind of sacrifice or offering. Remember this passage in Hosea where the Lord said, I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. All of our worship, as important as it is a means to an end, isn't it? Is it not, as we sing and pray and observe the Lord's Supper and give of our means, and all of these things are designed to draw us closer to God, to know him better. And so there is that overarching purpose in all that we do, even in the prescribed worship of our Lord. This knowledge can make us free from ignorance and sin and fear. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And growing our knowledge of God includes our actually coming to know that we know. And that is not to be said with any kind of arrogance, but he simply says it is a fact. Hereby We do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If we see that our lives are being shaped and conformed day by day to his will, and that that is guiding our decisions and our thoughts, and the whole course of our life is being affected by that, yes, we're coming to know the Lord. It is seen also in the discontinuing of the practice of sin. We are so hesitant, and should be, to claim that we have conquered this or that sin. And we frequently fall and make mistakes. We all do. But this passage is saying to us, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, carefully look at that. It is the practice of sin. Here's an individual who stole. And Paul said to the Ephesians, let him that stole steal no more. But maybe one day he slips up and he immediately confesses that. He's sorry for it, just as sorry as he can be. He's stolen. But it's not his practice. That's not the course of his life. And you multiply that illustration by every kind of sin that may beset us. And what the Lord wants as we come to know him is that we are able not to walk in the practice of sin. And then living a life of love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And so our love is accompanied with knowledge. To know him better and better is to love him more and more. And so love and knowledge go hand in hand. As we grow in our knowledge of God, it ties us more and more to the eternal. This is life eternal, Jesus said, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Shortly before his death, our Master said those words, and to know him, and to know his Son. This allows us to win the battle against sin in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And so the powerful challenge for us is that as we come to know him and as we fight the good fight of faith, that we are able to exercise even control over the things we think about day by day. Now that is a great claim, that there is that which can even provide for us a direction for our thoughts day by day. And so these things I believe we can safely conclude. One is that our ability to add knowledge is assured for us by the help of God. He would not have asked us to grow in knowledge and to experience the great things that knowledge has in store for us, the knowledge of God, had that not been possible for us. And so we can do that. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And so we can do that by the help of God. We will come to have great joy in coming to know God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. As we think about to actually study and know and experience the ways of deity in our own life, there is great, great joy. And we come to know that, of course, through a variety of sources. There is the book of nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. And this time of the year is a good time to think that thought from Psalms 19. Everywhere, life is bursting forth, and it is evidence of the mighty hand of God. And so we know God because he made this beautiful world. We know God because of his book, the Bible, nothing like it in all of the writings of all of the wise people of the world. And we know him because of Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, God with us. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we know him because of our walk with him. He challenges us to experience and to know him by following his will. And so the final question I want to ask you is, do you know him today? Do you know the Lord? Have you believed and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you noticed in the great invitation where Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Notice? Learn of me. Jesus asked us in coming to him, I want you to know about me. I want you to know me better. I want you to learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. If you need to accept the challenge of coming to know the Lord, we invite you.